Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll...
Hello, everyone. God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I want to welcome you today to the prophetic news broadcast. This is Susan Puzio. And we are going to have as our guest today Evangelist Jim Green from the new Real Talk Radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And he also has a YouTube channel. So we're going to talk about Word of Faith or Word of Fake and false teachers, some of the damnable heresies that they're bringing in to the church to deceive people. So we want to be vigilant and sober so we can remain steadfast in the faith and earnestly contend for the faith. The chat room is open today. We'll be checking the chat room also. This is a live call-in program. If anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 914-338-1638. So that's available for you. We want to look at Jude. If you look at the book of Jude, and we're going to look at Jude in the scriptures. In Jude, we're told to earnestly contend for the faith. So we do that because we love the truth of God's word. In Jude, verse 4, I'll start at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that so many of these false teachers, mainly the big thing that they teach is prosperity. Now, I'm not against people having money as long as you earn it honestly. You're not selling miracles for $58 blessings or $100 sea faith gifts. It's a bunch of foolishness. It's not in the Bible. These people, if you go to 2 Peter and you look at 2 Peter, and we'll look at verse 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And then verse 18 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And we're seeing so much of that right now because there's so many scandals, breaking the Eddie Long scandal, being accused of having homosexual relations with four young men that were members of his church. And then you have Marcus Lamb of the Daystar Network, who was having a seven-year affair with a coworker. Then you have, there's a new book out that's about Mike Murdoch, which exposes his personal life. And although I am not personally endorsing the book because it's it does have quite a bit of profanity, and got some things in there that I wouldn't recommend, but I mean it does expose the secret life of Mike Murdoch, and it's only a sign of the times, because I think that if you profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and then you start selling the gospel, once you start doing that, then you just open yourself up to so many sorrows. It's just not worth it to pimp yourself out just so you can have a ministry, because we all have ministries. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Anybody can preach the gospel, and it's free. Everybody's got a mouth and a Bible. So you really have to open it. John 3 is a good place to start. You must be born again. Yes, you must be born again, because we're all born in sin. We're all sinners. We need a Savior. That's why Jesus died for us. He was the perfect sacrifice. Nobody killed him. He wasn't murdered. He came to give his life and to pay the ultimate price so we can have freedom. But being born again is a real experience. I noticed that the other day there was a story about Carlton Pearson, and Carlton once claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a very popular speaker in charismatic circles, but he started to embrace universalism, which they believe that everybody gets saved in the end, whether they accept Jesus or not. And so he was invited to pastor, I put that in quotes, a New Age church in, I think it's in Chicago. Was founded by a lady named John E. Coleman, I think. Johnny? I might have the wrong name, but anyway, he was invited to go and pastor this New Age church, and they basically kicked him out because he wasn't false enough for them. So now Carlton's back on his own. But it's amazing because here's a young man that supposedly grew up in a Christian home, and then he attended Oral Roberts University, had a big church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Also, I think he was on the board of Oral Roberts University, and the singer Carmen actually attended his church. I'd love to know what his thoughts are about what's become of Carlton Pearson, but Carlton fell away from the faith and became a universalist. But also I noticed that Joel Osteen was on the Pierce Morgan show the other day, and I always get a kick out of this because they always like to ask somebody that claims to be a Christian what they think about homosexuality. And, well, of course, the Bible speaks out against homosexuality. So if we're Bible-believing Christians, we have to say what the Bible says. It doesn't mean that we don't love these people or pray for their salvation or their deliverance, but homosexuality is wrong. It's a sin. And so they were asking Joel Osteen, and then they bring up, well, Pierce Morgan brings up, oh, Elton John has, he's married and they just had a baby. Well, a man can't have a baby without a woman, and a woman can't have a baby without a man, so two men can't have a baby. So they had to get a surrogate to have this baby, and so he starts telling Joel about how, well, you know, what would you say if they were here? And would you tell them that they're in sin? And, well, of course. But yet, because of the way that we believe about homosexuality, homosexuals get angry at Christians and they say you're judging or you don't have any love or whatever. But yet, they'll hate you for your beliefs. Now, we don't hate these people. I don't hate homosexuals or adulterers, but a sin is sin, so you have to call it what it is, and that's just the way it is. But I'm going to bring my guest on, and we're going to talk about Word of Faith or Word of Fake. Hello. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk
this
to you, too.
This is my guest, evangelist Jim Green, and he is the host of the new Real Talk Radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And this is a new program, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, actually, yes and no. I had started it before. I had a different format where I actually recorded it myself and posted, did that for about a year, and then I found Blog Talk Radio and thought it'd be a good idea to move the show there, you know, a little more live interaction, got people on chat, people could call in, you know, a little more interactive, so I thought it would be a good idea to make the move, so here I am.
Yeah. And so you also have been on YouTube for a while. Would you tell the people a little bit about your YouTube channel?
Well, my YouTube channel is kind of like my personal journal, I guess you could say, my video journal. I got a lot of things on there, you know, thoughts that I post. You know, when an issue comes up or something, I'll put together a little video to let people know how I feel about a particular issue that's going on in society. Or sometimes I use it as a teaching tool. It just depends on what, just depends on how I'm feeling, you know.
Yeah. So I noticed that you posted a video on your YouTube channel, which I thought was very interesting, was the Word of Faith or Word of Fake. And also you have Fighting False Teachers. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the Word of Faith movement versus the Word of Fake. So exactly what teachers would you put into that category?
Wow. I mean, that's...
Long list.
You know, there is a long list, and people don't really realize... first of all, people don't readily, in our society, they don't readily realize or know how to identify what a false teacher is. So they believe that just because a pastor or a minister has a church and has a large venue, say TV, radio, et cetera, that justifies that individual's ministry. Well, my thing about that is just because they can pay the bill doesn't justify their theology. So, you know, if I had the money to go out and be on TV and radio and whatnot, I would do it also. But, you know, these ministers, and basically to answer your question, there is such a long list. I mean, basically, I'd say 98% of who you see on TV is pretty much Word of Faith people or an offshoot of Word of Faith. So we're talking about, we're talking about Creflo Dollar. We're talking about T.D. Jakes. We're talking about George Meyer. We're talking about, I heard you talking about Joel Osteen. He belongs in that group. And Jesse Duplantis. I mean, just on and on and on. Jerry Savile. There's so many of them that just about everyone you see on television are pretty much Word of Faith. You have to really listen. You know, there's a very small percentage of teachers who preach the truth on television, but the list is just very extensive.
Yes, it's very extensive. But why do you think that this has gained such a stronghold in the church today?
Well, because Word of Faith theology offers people the very thing that they want. It gives them a chance to be everything that they want to be. It offers them a chance to take control of their life by speaking whatever they want into existence. And that's a very powerful aphrodisiac. That's people want, who doesn't want a better life? Who doesn't want divine health and don't ever get sick? Who doesn't want to be rich and have material things? We all do. So when a teacher makes that the center of their ministry, it's going to be attractive, you know, and people really don't care if it's the truth or not, you know. All they see is what they can get. So that's why it's such a powerful thing in today's society.
Yes, it's very, very, very powerful. It's it's also very difficult to try to brainwash people from the avalanche of the false teaching. Even when you present the Word of God to them, they reject it.
That's right. That's right. And I have found that because I also have a Facebook page that I post on quite often, and I find that to be, you know, difficult too. Is when you are a word center person, and by let me define that, because a person thinks because they can open the Bible and quote a scripture, they think they're a word based person. What I mean by being a word based person is someone who has studied the word and understands what the writer meant when he was writing scriptures as inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's a word person. And when you have a word person that's expounding on the word and telling people what the word really means, what you find oftentimes is that people don't really know the word. They only know the word as someone has dictated it to them.
Yeah.
They haven't studied it for themselves. So they think that what you're saying, and so this is what I get a lot of, is, well, that's the way you interpret it, this is the way I interpret it, when they don't understand. There's only one interpretation of the Bible,
right?
Period. There are no several interpretations of the word. There's only one interpretation. Either you have the truth or you don't have the truth, and people don't really understand that. You know? So.
Yeah, they've been very effective with their, what I call it, brainwashing, because they've been very, very successful at what they've done. But the Lord has been so gracious to us to open the door the way he has for the voice, for to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. So I'm very grateful to God, because we can't be silenced. Even if you can't get on these big networks or you know, be there, because they wouldn't really let you have a show on there on most of these stations, because they only allow certain people to say certain things. So we probably wouldn't be on anyway, but God made a way where he gave us this internet, which is so wonderful, because we can reach the world and we don't have to compromise. It's a tremendous blessing. But I was listening to your YouTube presentation on the Word of Faith, Word of Faith, and you talk about proof texting and and taking the scriptures out of context, so you can explain that to people. Exactly what do you mean by proof texting?
Well, proof texting is one of the primary methods that Word of Faith teachers use to twist the word to make it say what they want it to say. In other words, what they do is they say a concept. They say you can be rich, right? Let's say they got this concept is you can be rich in Christ. So they take that premise and then they actually teach their people to do this. You go and find all the scriptures that have to do with being rich. And you pick out all the scriptures about being rich, and you pull one scripture out of its context. And when I say out of its context, what you're doing is you're lifting it and you're relieving it from the place where it was supposed to be, the meaning. That's the equivalent of if you take my engine out of my car's not going to run anymore. Or if you remove my car's not going to run anymore. In other words, you take a small piece of something out of a bigger thing, and it doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to. That's the same thing they do with this proof testing. So they take that one scripture out about being rich, and they don't understand. They didn't read the rest of it. They don't know the rest of the story. So now the meaning is distorted.
Yeah.
That's basically what proof texting is removing scripture from the intent that the author had when he wrote it.
Yeah.
That's basically what proof text to prove a point, you know.
Yeah, to prove a point, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been very, very effective, very effective.
Yes.
I've been a Christian over 30 years, and I've never seen the church and the state it's in.
Yeah.
And of course I know we've had other dark periods of history, but it seems that I've never seen such a biblically illiterate group of people since I've known the Lord as I see today.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, and I talk about this a lot, too. This new generation that we have, see, when I grew up, you know, we didn't have video games and stuff like that. We had board games, but, you know, we went outside and played. We played outside, and then we had our inside time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and we read books. You know, we had books. We read books. You know, this generation doesn't like to read. If it's not something on the internet, it's not really interesting to them. They don't want to read. So we got a whole generation of people who don't like to read and study. So they'd much rather go and have someone else dictate it to them. You're the teacher, you're the pastor, you're the one, you do the studying, you get all the knowledge, and then you come and I'll sit before you and you can tell me what the scripture says.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so vulnerable, because they don't have the heart of the Bereans. They don't seek after the truth themselves. They're just swallowing down whatever these teachers are giving them and not understanding that you should seek the word out for yourself. I don't care who's speaking. If my Holy Ghost meter goes off when you say something, I'm going to go and search, and I'm going to go and line that up with the word. And if it doesn't line up with the word, I'm not going to be in agreement with that.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's called discernment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And because people don't read and study, that's why they don't have discernment.
Yeah, that's a big one, because I never thought of it that way, the way you put it, but that's really a good analogy, because people don't read, and they do. They're addicted to their computers, so it's a whole different mindset. But
yes,
it also what I found too is that a lot of these pastors, they like that. They like that kind of hero worship, and they feed into that. And they don't want to come back down to earth and just be a real person. And it's real hard for somebody to stay up on a pedestal, because we all realize our human frailties, and that we're just a mouthpiece. We have a Bible, and God allows us to quote it. But it's a dangerous situation that people have put the pastor in, where they've exalted him to actually be the shepherd of their souls, and to feed them every week. And like you said, then they don't crack the Bible open at all. They just go there and sit and listen, and they don't question anything. But also, they're even being taught not to question anything.
That's right. That's right. And that's because you bring up a good point about the hero worship, and that happens when you have a ministry that is personality driven rather than Christ driven or word driven. See, if what these preachers are doing, they're positioning themselves. They're taking they're vicariously taking the place of Christ. So these people are coming, and they're really not worshiping Christ. They're really worshiping this individual, and the individual. The fleshly part of that individual likes that.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to be told that they're great?
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't want to be? It feeds into the pride of the individual. The pride gets to a certain point to where, I'm gonna give you a perfect example. Eddie Long. Okay. For all the news and the evidence that we see so far indicates. And I know some people will want to dispute me on that. That's okay. But all the evidence indicates that Eddie Long has been in several homosexual relationships.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if Eddie Long would just come out and say, just say, repent and say, you know what, I was doing this, it was wrong, I repent and turn away from it. Okay, that would be acceptable.
Yes.
Not only acceptable to us, it would be acceptable to God. But
yes,
I believe because of his status that he has, too much pride. He has too much pride to admit, I was wrong, I fell into sin, please forgive me. So I don't believe he'll ever do it. In any teacher or pastor, Jamal Bryant, as you probably know, has fathered a couple of children outside of his marriage. But instead of coming repenting, what does he say? He gets in the pulpit and says, you know what, I did it, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. In other words, I'm going to keep preaching, I'm going to keep going forward. Not a speck of humility, not a speck of regret for what he did. Why? Because of the position that he holds in the eyes of people.
Yes, but the thing is, they didn't clear out of the building either. Even Eddie Long's congregation didn't clear out. That's
exactly
what amazes me more than anything, is that these people are still sitting there.
Well, because I'm going to tell you why, Susan. You want to know why? Because these people have become their gods.
Yes.
This is just my personal belief. I believe these people have become their gods. So no matter what they say, people always fall back on, oh, you shouldn't judge, and oh, everybody you know, all this as sin to come to, they start wanting to get holy all of a sudden, quoting scripture, when they don't understand that we as Christians, we're held to, especially leaders, are held to a higher standard.
Higher standard. Yes.
The Bible even
says the thing that I would like you to explain to the listeners, because I get that a lot too, is why these people, why they should judge. They should run for their life from these preachers. I would rather have a repentant adulterer any day than somebody to stand up there and then not repent and to be full of pride.
Yeah.
And then to try to make the people that are accusing them to try to make their life miserable. This is a very sad state of affairs.
It is very sad, Susan. And I just, because I get it a lot is when I point out sin, when I recognize what sin is, and identify it. You know, I get called judgmental too. You know.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand is when you use that word judge, that word judge, see, they want to use a scripture that Jesus quoted, you know, and, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. But see, this is what they don't understand. That's a different type of judgment. We shouldn't judge sinners as far as you're going to hell. We don't have the right, we don't have no hell to put nobody in.
Yeah.
We, you know, as humans, we don't have the right to do that. But
yeah.
We judge as far as discerning what sin is, what right and wrong is, and pointing that out and telling our brother or sister or even a sinner, do you understand that sin is abominable to God? And if you die as a sinner, that there's a hell that waits for you? We should be telling people that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But because we're caught up on this wave of we should be nice and we should be good to people and we shouldn't be negative and we shouldn't bash people. You know, we should be, you know, I hate to say it. I really hate to say this, but you know, we got a society of wimps now.
Oh, I agree.
It's sad. People don't want to tell, you can't criticize or tell anyone. You can't even give constructive criticism anymore because even in the church, people are sensitive and they get their feelings hurt really easily. Well, if I'm doing something that's going to hurt me or definitely going to send me to hell, I want you to know. Well, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to offend people. You know, if I'm going to hell, offend me.
Yeah,
please.
Offend me.
Because
yeah,
I don't want to go.
Offend me is right. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, It is really something so interesting how the people's eyes, they don't want to see, and then they, how do they expect people to get born again if you don't teach about right and wrong? But the world has come into the church and been so effective in coming in and bringing in these damnable heresies.
Yes.
It's been very effective, but
what were you going to say?
What I'm going to say is that, but God has, you know, God does have a people that don't bow. We're not going to bow, and that we're not going to sell out. And I feel the same way. If I'm doing something wrong, I want to be told. Tell me, I can take it. And there's something wrong with somebody if they can't accept rebuke. Open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says.
I kind of feel
like, you know, we're out there and God's given us a voice, and thank God we can use it for His glory and for His kingdom's sake.
Yeah. It doesn't make us popular, you know, to do, and to be quite honest with you, you really can't be a friend of the world if you're going to serve Christ, because everything you represent is offensive to a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a real Christian. I'm talking about a Christian who stands on the Bible and not on what society thinks we should be standing on. See, this is the problem. We have preachers in our pulpits that are more concerned with being politically correct and socially correct than being biblically correct.
Yes.
And we have an entire generation of people that have been following these teachers. So the remnant, which is us, which is the small group of believers that won't bow, that's what we're up against. And we're up against the same thing that the prophets of old, the Old Testament prophets, were up against when God told Isaiah. He said, Isaiah, you're going to go to this nation of people, and you're going to tell them the truth, and they're going to reject you.
Yes.
God forewarned Isaiah that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So when we deal with that situation, we need to understand that there's going to be limited success when you're telling people the truth. And I'm okay with that. I can live with that.
Oh, yeah, I can
you know
live
what I mean?
With that, too. I can live with that, too. I mean, I was out there. I had a public ministry. I was getting invitations. I don't get any invitations anymore to go and preach to churches. But that's
right.
Okay. I'm not going to compromise my message. I know that God wants me to say what I'm saying. And there's been brave people in the past, braver than me for sure, who've laid down their life. All the apostles had just for one, had to lay down their life for the gospel. So I haven't been there yet, you know. But it's so important. But I wanted to just mention, if you would, because you've got that video on YouTube, and you've got you flashed some of the different teachers, like Jesse Duplantis. You talk about how he's saying that he has life and death. We have life and death.
Yeah.
tell the listeners a little bit about that particular statement from Jesse Duplantis.
Jesse. Well, the clip that you're referring to is a clip of Jesse Duplantis preaching, and he's telling his congregation that God has the power to take life, but he can't. and then he says, God, he can do it. He got the power to do it, but he won't.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say that he can't do it because he's bound. And he says, you choose when you live and you choose when you die. This is what he's telling his congregation.
Yeah.
And then he quotes the scripture. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, he's a perfect example of what we've been talking about as far as proof texting.
Yes.
And this is the proof texting bandwagon that the faith preachers jump on. Is they pick a concept, in this case, you can speak whatever you want. You can speak life or death into the atmosphere, which is really a New Age concept.
Yes.
Well, they're speaking that, and he spoke that, and he said that God will not exercise that because you are a speaking spirit. In other words, you don't have the power to speak. God doesn't have the power to speak anything into existence, but you do.
Yeah.
You see, and what they've done is they switched the roles. They made God into the servant, and they made themselves into the gods.
Yeah.
What was
interesting, too, about that is, well, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. So what did he do with that scripture?
Well, I mean, you want to know what I've heard? What I've heard that they do, what they do with that scripture, is they say when a person dies, well, that person didn't get healed, and that's why they died. Well, what they've come back with is, well, no, they got healed. Death is the ultimate healing, and now they don't have any pain, they don't have any suffering, and they're going on to heaven to be with God. So actually, they were healed. This is more of the twisting that they do. So now death is the ultimate healing. You see how that works?
The thing that's amazing too is that people sit there and they go they don't even hear what this guy is saying. This guy is saying that you control your life. You don't need God. You control whether you live or die. Now, what exactly does that scripture mean, though? What does that scripture mean that death and life is in the power of the tongue?
Well, if you take it, like I said, they're wrenching it out of its context. What that means is it doesn't mean it's not a definitive and an overall scripture to be used for like he said, you choose, you can bring life. Like that is to say, if that's the case, Susan, then I mean me and you can go to the graveyard right now and speak to our dead relatives and bring them back from the dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If that were true,
what
that particular scripture is actually talking about is more along the lines of, and you got to understand that there's some scripture. Now, all scripture is not, us Bible scholars, which I I don't know if you can call me a scholar or not, but I do read and study the Bible. But a lot of Bible scholars won't admit that we don't know everything that's in the Bible. Even some of the top scholars will tell you that.
Sure.
In this case, this particular scripture is, we believe that this is in regards to speaking positively versus speaking negatively. Now I'm not talking about some New Age stuff. I'm just talking about generally speaking. I'm just talking about generally speaking. That's what it means. If I, I can't go outside here and speak, say, I want $1 million and a pile of money sits up in front of me at the same thing. Same time, I can't say I'm sick and I come down with cancer. That's the kind of absolutes that we're talking about. Well, this is not talking about that total absolute. What it's talking about is when you speak, you know what I'm saying, I can make myself feel good by saying, this is going to be a good day today.
Yeah.
I'm going with my day. It's going to help prepare me. Or you say, I'm going to be blessed today. I'm not going to let the devil get me down. I'm going to be blessed today. You speaking life right there.
Yeah.
But this whole thing of speaking life and death, it's not absolute. He's not talking about you can raise people from the dead or keep somebody from dying or call somebody to death. That's more like witchcraft to me.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Like putting a hex on somebody.
Yes. Yes, but they do that. They do that. They do curse people.
Yeah.
And I've even heard them say that. We curse that and we curse this. And we're not supposed to be cursing people.
Yeah, that's right.
Just because they do something we don't like. But another one, you had a clip there of Creflo, and I know some people say cash flow, but
he got it. I don't know if you got seen that one that I made that he said himself. He said, if I named myself, I wouldn't call myself Creflo Dollar. I'd call myself Creflo Million.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. Creflo Million Dollar.
How arrogant is that?
That's bad. I mean, that was bad because he actually said that. I think he was on CNN or something when he said it. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of even saying that. But there's even one clip of him where he says that he wants to take a machine gun or something and machine gun people down if they don't tithe.
Say they tithe.
I'm like, well, I would have hit the door. Wow, I would have grabbed my purse. I would have been running, screaming out of that place. And that's insanity.
That is insanity. But when someone has you under their spell, so to speak, which there's a whole other theology that I'm looking into that actually says that these people have actually been hypnotized by these teachers.
Oh,
when you're under their spell, they can tell you whatever they want to tell you, and you're going to believe them. And anybody that comes, it's actually quite cultic, because a cult believer, the cult followers believe the leader unconditionally.
Yeah.
And anybody that opposes the cult leader, they attack them.
Yeah.
So in many respects, this is a cultic, it's cultic behavior.
Yeah, it's cultic
because
behavior.
It's a lot of the same principles going on with this word of faith teaching, you know.
Yeah. I know years ago when Rodney Howard Brown had come through our area, it was back around 1993, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And he also uses a form of hypnotism. I actually saw people in my church that I knew, and for instance, the choir director, she was slithering on the floor like a snake. Now he could actually get people to do very weird things, but it was a very simple form of hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, it took some time for me to really realize what was going on after I saw the after effects of what they called the revival, and churches were closing down. People were getting divorced. They were winding up having nervous breakdowns. And this was the what happened after. But yet this guy is still around. He's never repented for what he did. And even the whole the Todd Bentley thing, he's still around. Isn't it something what people have come to accept?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just like you said, there are a lot of several factors. It's like you said, people are basically become lazy. That's one of the huge factors. And people are still wanting to, people want to obtain riches and divine healing and all those things. So they get that from these teachers. They don't actually get any real biblical teaching about life. You know, their teaching is about it's about spells and incantations and things like that to get what you want. People are coming to God now not to get their sins forgiven. They're coming to get what they want from God.
Yeah.
And that's the turnabout that has happened in the body of Christ. The body of Christ at large has ceased from preaching the gospel of salvation. And calling sin sin and condemning sin, as Apostle Paul said in Romans, condemning sin in the flesh as Jesus did, we're not doing that anymore. We're preaching we're selling a bill of goods. I actually heard T.D. Jakes say that Jesus is a product, and so. This is the mindset that these preachers have, is that Jesus is a product that's to be sold. So that's exactly what they're doing. They're packaging him.
Oh, yeah, well, that's exactly what they're doing.
They're packaging him, and they're marketing him, and they're selling him. And people are buying.
Because they're buying.
Very attractive.
They're buying, but it's not a heartfelt thing. Any of us that have really been born again, we know what Jesus did for us. We can never forget it. It's precious to us, and you can't take it and sell it for your own gain. We don't know what's going to happen in this life. None of us know what's going to happen, but this life is short. We know that we're just here for a short time. Our life is but a vapor. We're here 1 minute, and we could be gone the next. And what are we going to leave behind? What's important in this life is Jesus Christ, his salvation, his wonderful experience that he gives us of old things passing away and behold, all things become new. You become a new creation, and it's
the
most wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And it's a free gift. You don't have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has already paid the price. And the gospel is so simple, but we've taken it. It's no longer going to church. You go to campus, and it's like you're going to university. We don't want to talk about sin. We don't call it sin. We call it mistakes. or
that's
miss
right.
the mark, or we don't tell, oh, you can't tell people to repent. You might hurt their feelings. And and I know that you did a couple shows, too, about homosexuality. Now, that's really an issue. That's really kind of a hot button, because if you say that what the Bible says, that it is a reprobate behavior, and,
yes.
well, that's what the Bible says. So it has nothing to do with the fact that we don't love these people, we don't want
right.
to see them.
Right.
We want to see them have the life that God has intended for them. And
that's right.
Because I even found that a few people that I knew before I got saved that I met on Facebook, once they
mm-hmm.
found out that I was a Christian and found out my views, they defriended me. They're not...
Yeah,
not
very
well, but
all the time.
I wouldn't defriend
yeah.
them because of their beliefs.
Right.
But it's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, and I have it happening all the time. My friend counts always fluctuating, and I would suspect that part of it is because of people finding out when they actually go on my wall and find out what I'm really about, you know. You don't want to have nothing to do with that. So
no, they like the old person better. But I laughed
yeah.
and said, "Wow,
yeah,
you know that
yeah.
is funny." I'm excited about look at my new life in Christ, and mm-hmm. They're angry.
Yeah.
They're angry, but you hope that they got enough of what you were
yeah.
saying, and they could see actually that there is a change in their life. So hopefully. And it'll be the same for them. But I know that I've enjoyed listening to your programs and looking at your YouTube. And, you know, it's a tremendous blessing to know you, to know your ministry. So we just have a couple minutes left, but I want,
okay.
would you mind telling the people again about your program on Blog Talk Radio and about where they could find you on YouTube?
My show, like you mentioned earlier, is the new Real Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and also you can find me as Evangelist Green on Facebook as well. That's my personal Facebook. That's where we do a lot of daily interaction on there, as well as on YouTube as DJX08. You can find me there. That's where I post most of my videos. And that's pretty much what I got going on now. You can hit me up, send me a message. Catch me on my blog talk show. And I'm ready to chop it up.
Yeah. And what do you have coming up as far as what's the some of the programs that you have coming up on Blog Talk Radio?
Well, this year we're going to be getting real aggressive with on some of our topics. That was part of the new look that we decided to go with. Our next show we're going to talk about is Tithing a Biblical Principle. That's the upcoming show we're going to do. We're going to look at what the Bible says about tithing and do we have a biblical premise for tithing in the church today? Because we have to get that thing in context as well, because a lot of people
yeah.
have that twisted.
Yeah, that's very important. I love to stress that myself, because I think giving from the heart is so much more rewarding than compulsive giving.
Right.
Because compulsive giving, just it what's happened is it's really bred so much selfishness in the body of Christ, because that people
right.
are looking for what they could get for themselves instead of what they could do for others.
That's right.
So
it's a
more godly concept to do the heart thing always.
Right. Exactly.
But I wanted to ask you if you wouldn't mind praying for our listeners, and maybe there's one out there that's listened today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the person
yeah.
we're trying to reach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a problem. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come to you right now, God, and Father, we thank you for all things in our life today, Lord. We thank you for giving us life today, God. And Father, today we just want to pray for those who are listening that don't know you, Lord. Maybe those that are on the fence, God, that haven't really made a full commitment to you, God. And we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just touch the hearts, Lord, and let them know that you are a loving God, God. And even though we sin, God, you still love us and you'll still accept us, Lord, as we come and we repent and we put our faith in the cross of Christ, God. And we just pray that every mind and every heart that is listening will be open, Lord, to your move and be sensitive to your spirit, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you. I want to thank you so much for being with me today. And
my pleasure.
I'm glad to know that you're my brother.
I'm glad to know you my sister, too.
Amen. God bless.
I appreciate you. You keep doing your thing, sister.
Yeah, you too.
All right. God bless. Bye.
I want to thank you all for listening today and for being a part of this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. We want to let you know that we do love you. We do care about you. That's why we're here. We care about people. We care about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is a free gift. It's a gift that we have. We know that when we leave this life, we're here for a short time, but there is a heaven. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And we don't want to see anybody go there. We don't want to see anybody die and know when they die, they'll know that there really was a God and there really was a Jesus and they never accepted him. But you can know the Lord Jesus Christ today and ask him to come into your life and ask him to give you a new life. It's a new life. It's a wonderful life. It's a life full of hope, peace, and joy. You won't have to wonder anymore what the truth is because you'll find the truth, and the truth will make you free. There is perfect freedom. If you're addicted to drugs, if you're addicted to alcohol, or you have a sexual addiction, whatever it is, Jesus Christ can set you free. You don't have to commit suicide. You can have a wonderful life. So give your life to Jesus today. He really, really loves you. God really does love you. No matter what you've done or where you've been, he will accept you. Thank you for tuning in today. Be blessed.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.